This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/radio3.
I must have been 27 when I told my mother I was planning to get married. I wasn't yet a principal with the Royal Ballet, but I was an established soloist, part of the company for a decade and at the Associated School for 7 years more. Add to that my early training with Janice Sutton in Skegness, and I'd danced for 20 of my 27 years. If you'd asked me why I wanted to dance, I'd have answered just like the heroine of The Red Shoes. Why do you want to live? As this intense passion for dance was inherited from my mother, her response to my announcement took me aback. So, she said, does that mean you'll give up dancing? Until this moment, if you'd asked me, I'd have been unsure whether I'd even seen Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger's 1948 film about a ballerina torn between love and art. But now, my mother's unexpected question brought an image from The Red Shoes flooding back. In this scene, the ballet Lermontov is preparing to perform Giselle in Paris when the prima ballerina, Irina Borenskaya, interrupts the rehearsal to make her own announcement.
Listen, mes amis, I am fiancée, I get married!
The corps de ballet break ranks and flock to offer congratulations, circling her in a pattern that echoes the final act of Swan Lake. Perhaps this subtle reference to forgiveness lends added power to what comes next. In Swan Lake, the circle around the Swan Queen opens to reveal a contrite prince on his knees and begging forgiveness. But here, Borenskaya steps out of the circle to find rejection. Jack Cardiff's masterful camera direction reveals the scene through her eyes. The shot is empty. The banquette where Boris Lermontov was seated moments before is now vacant. He vows that she will never dance for him again.
You cannot have it both ways. The dancer who relies upon the doubtful comforts of human love will never be a great dancer. Never.
The Red Shoes tells the story of a young dancer, Victoria Page, who joins the ballet Lermontov and wins the leading role in The Red Shoes, a new ballet based on the story by Hans Christian Andersen. But like Borenskaya, Vicky falls in love and, eventually, leaps to her death rather than choose between marriage and career. It's generally agreed amongst dancers that the fictional company and its autocratic director are based on Sergei Diaghilev and his ballet Russe, the brief-lived but brilliant company that changed the course of ballet in the 20th century. Film experts suggest that Powell and Pressburger may actually have had in mind a composite of themselves and Alexander Korda, a guiding force behind the early British film industry and the producer for whom Red Shoes was originally written in 1939. There may well be something of the film's creators in its central character. Certainly their credit, entire production written, produced and directed by Powell and Pressburger, is worthy of Lermontov's egotistical worldview. But to a dancer, the Diaghilev references are hard to ignore. The Monte Carlo seasons, the repertoire, the society patrons, the dictatorial director, artists peremptorily hired and fired. And, of course, the possessive control that Lermontov exercises over the dancers he creates.
You ask me a question to which I give a stupid answer. You ask me what I wanted to live and I said yes. Actually, Miss Page, I want more, much more. I want to create, to make something big out of something little, to make a great dancer out of you. But first I must ask you the same question. What do you want from life? To live?
To dance.
The film was made within living memory of Diaghilev and with artists who'd experienced him at first hand, Marie Rombert and Leonid Massine. It may well provide a portrait, in some way, of the famous impresario and his ballet Russe. But the reason I return to the film time and time again is not for its portrayal of this golden age of ballet history. It's because The Red Shoes connects me to my own dancing past in a way that no other ballet film has managed to achieve. The Red Shoes is a film about a make-believe ballet Lermontov based on a real-life ballet Russe. However, concealed within the film are the components of a snapshot of a third ballet company, the one that I would join some 33 years later. Moira Shearer, who plays Vicky, was a dancer with Sadler's Wells Ballet, the company founded by Ninette de Valois that became the Royal Ballet. De Valois had danced under Diaghilev and, like him, she controlled her dancers' careers with an iron will, convinced she knew what was best for them and, most importantly, for the company. Shearer was already dancing leading roles when Powell approached her to star in the film, and she surprised him by saying no. "I fought against being in that film for a year," she said. "I was just beginning to do the big classics, every ballerina's dream, and I didn't want to be deflected." Just like Vicky, Shearer only wanted to dance. Eventually, it was de Valois who pushed her to take the part, realising that the publicity would benefit the company in its forthcoming American tour. Neither Sadler's Wells nor de Valois is credited in the film, but it could not have been made without her cooperation. It's peopled with artists from her company, her leading male, Robert Helpman, and rehearsal pianist, Hilda Gaunt, and the London scenes are set within the Royal Opera House, since 1946, the home of Sadler's Wells Ballet. When I began my career in 1981, the theatre had barely changed, and so from the opening shots, I find myself in long-gone territory that's strangely familiar. The Covent Garden market traders with their side street lock-ups, the barrel-vaulted glass roof of the Floral Hall, the clattering stone steps to the cheap seats up in the gods, the stage door, wicker baskets and red fire buckets, the view across the footlights to the empty auditorium, its velvet seats draped in dust cloths, cigarettes smoked indoors, ballet masters barking instructions and wielding sticks, bewigged flunkies, and the bright stage lights flooding the conductor's face, a curtain up. One scene I particularly treasure for its rare footage of the venue that's widely acknowledged as the cradle of British ballet, the Mercury in London's Notting Hill. From 1933, performances in this tiny theatre, like the one in the film when Vicky dances Swan Lake with Ballet Rombert, played a key role in building regular audiences for ballet in London. This short section of The Red Shoes combines art with art history to bring the past vividly to life. A real ballerina, Shearer, playing a fictional Victoria Page, Anton Walbrook playing Lermontov, as Diaghilev, Mary Rombert playing herself, and the camera slicing between the audience and the dancer, mimicking the flick of her head as she pirouettes to a finish. On every level it dances so brilliantly between reality and fantasy that I too can play with the truth and imagine myself there. But it's perhaps the decision to cast dancers who could act, instead of actors who could pretend to dance, that distinguishes this from more recent ballet films. Above all else, it's this bold move that defines the film, giving The Red Shoes its shape, its identity, and its authenticity. Of the cast of 84, 59, almost three-quarters, are dancers. Four of the eight above the title names, Shearer, Massine, Helpman, and Ludmila Chirina, are genuine ballet luminaries. Other dance films have included sequences of a corps de ballet at work, but the vital interdependency between the dancers and the film that underpins The Red Shoes has never been repeated. The Ballet of the Red Shoes, a classic story within a story, is 17 minutes of uninterrupted dance. The curtain opens in conventional style, but what follows is much more than a filmed performance. By the second shot, we're transported through the proscenium arch into the action, and as the ballet progresses, we realise we're experiencing it from Vicky's perspective. We're not just watching her perform, we're in her shoes. The scale of its ambition is so audacious that even now it leaves me open-mouthed. What film director today would dare leave an audience alone with art, of any sort, for this length of time? In an interview 50 years later, Moira Shearer lamented Powell's distorted views of dance. "He was obviously keen on ballet," she said, "but he knew nothing about it. He had these grandiose, filmic ideas of putting every sort of eccentricity into every character. He had Massine behaving like a mad jumping bean. It was a travesty of what a ballet master should be like." I admit to sharing Shearer's frustration at these caricatures, and I recognise her language in my reaction to Darren Aronofsky's 2010 film, Black Swan. Perhaps any profession, compressed to 135 minutes and two dimensions, risks being reduced to a series of caricatures and clichés, and in The Red Shoes they certainly come thick and fast. Heltman's appearance in a one-piece blue swimsuit, nipped at the waist with a tight belt and topped with a red headband, ranks amongst the campest moments in a film that takes camp to a new high. But what Shearer hadn't noticed was the collective impact of the myriad tiny moments that ring true. The ballet company assembled for the film brought with them an entire body of knowledge about the way dancers move, dress, and behave with one another. Try as Powell might to choreograph them into clichés, dancers can't help being dancers. Even when a backstage moment is clearly staged, the rush to the bar or pre-curtain panics, they pastiche their own actuality as only dancers could. And so the stylized exaggeration of the foreground action takes place against a backdrop of realism as dancers go about their business in the studio and on the stage. Like paste stones set in a tiara made up of hundreds of genuine diamond chips. One moment exemplifies the unconscious depth of this authenticity. As the premiere approaches, Vicky is trying out her red pointe shoes for the first time. Ballet shoes are all made in pink. When colours required, standard pairs have to be dyed. As the process shrinks the satin, dyed shoes tend to slip off at the heel until they're worn in and stretch back to size. Cut to the rehearsal, and Vicky is dancing a sequence we've seen several times before. But this time, in her new red shoes, she misses a step and, lifting up her right foot, hops twice on her left while both hands tug her shoe back into place. It's a movement that only a dancer would recognise, and if you blink, you'll miss it. Powell and Pressburger were knowing enough to keep it in the final cut, but not to have requested it in advance, and I'm convinced that it was not only undirected, but unintended. It's in this flash of realism, and others like it, that we cannot know the dancer from the dance. I'll never know whether the red shoes was at the back of my mother's mind when she asked her question all those years ago. Was this iconic 1948 film behind her assumption that dancers must choose between human love and sacred art? Or was she expressing what might have been her own mother's view, that no respectable married woman could consider a career on the stage? In my mother, as in most of us, the values of two generations, our own and the one before, rubbed along together. My own twin perspectives, post-Thatcher individualism and British ballet circa 1950, frequently feel ill-matched, and never more so than when I'm watching The Red Shoes. There are so many reasons for me to dislike the film. Its outdated attitude to women, its distorted view of ballet perpetrating the notion that dancers must suffer for their art, the outrageous caricatures and the shouty clichés. But I don't. I love it, because even with all that, even 65 years after it was made, it remains the most genuine film about dancing that I know.